Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This week will lead us into March on Fridays. We're going to talk a lot of college basketball today. We're going to talk about some bubble teams. Going to give out my top 10 teams in college basketball. We're also going to talk some baseball, continue our MLB preview as we look at the Miami Marlins today. Johnny Venezia is standing by, going to join me in a little bit to talk some MLB, some college baseball as well. Lucy Burge will join me later on in the show, and then we'll wrap it up with our best bets for today. As always, want to hear from you guys. Any questions, comments that you have, let us know. Throw it in the chat, twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports, or you can go to Twitter and Instagram at the BetQL app. But here we go. Glass is in session. We're going to start things off going to the Glasser guest line and a Monday regular. Johnny Venezia joins me. You can follow him on Twitter, X at @_JohnnyVTV, host of the Breaking Bet podcast. Johnny, always like having you on Monday. We can recap what we saw over the weekend in college baseball. I was looking at your Twitter feed, and last night you tweeted out that, in your opinion, right now, you have two teams that are clear-cut the best in the country above everybody else, Oregon State and Duke. What makes you say that right now those are the two best teams in your opinion?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. I love our little powwows once a week. It's great to be on with you, PJ. Definitely, from what I've seen, just based on the eye test, I have these two teams, Oregon State and Duke, ranked as the highest, because if you're looking at it from an Oregon State standpoint, the lineup is the best and the deepest. This is something that I was talking about preseason. Travis Bazzano, who's got a real shot to be the number one pick in July, top three, top five, definitely going to be top 10. The Saucy Aussie, as they call him, hit two taters last night. One was 440. The other one was 111 off the bat. That was just going out of the Arlington, Texas State, where the Rangers play. But in terms of the lineup, we know the Beavers have that, but the pitching was always the big thing. They have a lot of veteran arms, and as you've seen, weird things happen in June. You get some guys that throughout the season might have not been on point, but they find their groove and they're able to start gelling at the right time. And Aiden May, their transfer from Arizona, has looked phenomenal. He actually did leave the game early against Arkansas, the game where his opponent Hagen Smith had 6 shutout innings, 17 strikeouts. Unbelievable stuff. I feel like just the balance that Oregon State has shown thus far is going to be a perfect way for them to make a deep run in Omaha this year. And then for Duke, Duke's got the best pitching front to back, arguably. Jonathan Santucci, lefty, probably a first rounder this year. Kid's unbelievable. The hitting was something that I wasn't sure about, but it has come on really strong the first 2 weeks. I need to see it all the way through conference play of the ACC, but right now, love what I'm seeing. Just need that hitting to be the complement to the pitching supplement, because these two teams right now really don't look like they have any weaknesses, and they've shown that thus far for the first 2 weeks of the season.
It seems like, Johnny, to me, there's value on both teams. Oregon State right now to win the title is 18-1. Duke is 40-1. So Duke is obviously the better price, but which bet at this point in time do you think is the better bet on the board? The Beavers at 18-1 or the Blue Devils at 40-1?
Take them both. But yeah, like you said, Duke's got the better price. They came down from 70-1 after last week to sitting now 40-1. I feel like Duke is very interesting. The pitching is going to take them far, and I do think the offense could continue to improve. But right now, I just got to go with Oregon State, even at a shorter price at 18-1. They were at 25-1 last week. And the reason is just because that offense, they're never out of a ball game. If you watch that game on Friday against Arkansas, which might be the game of the year, they were getting just absolutely mowed down by Hagen Smith of Arkansas. Like I said, 17 Ks over six innings. He only allowed four base runners. He struck out Travis Bazan of the aforementioned Australian that had two home runs yesterday three times. And Oregon State's pitching kept them in the game. They were treading water. And then once Hagen Smith left, they saw an opportunity and they pounced. Tied it up 4-4. They couldn't deliver the knockout punch and get it home, but just shows you how good this team is, and this offense just keeps them in a ball game. And I feel like their pitching is really maturing. They got some guys that I like and think can deliver long term this year. So I'm going to go with Oregon State just because they are the best when it comes to the offense.
All right, so those are the teams that you like. What about on the flip side? We're only 2 weeks into the season. Is there a team, though, that you're completely out on? You've already seen enough. You don't want any part of them this season?
Yeah, I'm going to give you three just at different levels. One's the more favorite. Another one's a mid-range. The other one's a long. Vanderbilt was a team I did not believe in. They're around 16-1. Their lineage is why they were so high. Every year, they're one of the favorites because they're a blue blood program. They're the New England Patriots of college baseball. Tim Corbin's the Bill Belichick of college baseball. But the last couple of years, I don't buy this team. They lost their best offensive weapon in Enrique Bradfield Jr., went to your Orioles in the first round last year. Their pitching is deep, but like they don't have that one guy that's like a lockdown stud like a Paul Skeens or a Hagen Smith. Devin Fittrell is probably their best guy. He's their Sunday starter. He's really good. He's got second-round potential. The offense isn't great for me. Mid-range, Stanford almost got swept by Penn State this week. They lost a ton. They lost Braden Montgomery, Quinn Matthews, Tommy Troy from last year. And then the long shot would be Iowa. A lot of people had them as a sleeper. I don't think Iowa's that good. And coming into the year, I didn't think they were going to have enough offense. Their pitching was supposed to be really good, but they blew a 6-run lead on Saturday and they blew a 5-run lead yesterday. So Iowa is on the you-know-what list. I'm completely off of them. I don't believe in them. They aren't even going to win the Big Ten. That's going to be Indiana.
All right, so that's what we got in college baseball. John, I want to get your thoughts on the MLB because you do follow that as well. We're previewing all the teams on our show here leading up to opening day. We looked at the NL Central last week. I think it's a really interesting division. The Cardinals are the favorites, plus 175 on BetMGM. Arenado, Goldschmidt leading the way, had a terrible season last year. Vegas thinks they're going to bounce back. Bellinger re-signs with the Cubs. They're plus 200. Then you got the Reds at plus 350, the Brewers at plus 650, and the Pirates at 16-1. When you look at the NL Central, who is the team that you would bet on this year?
It's between the Cubs and the Reds. I think the Cardinals are they're a dinosaur. They were good for so many years. They still got some talent. They got some young boys coming through the farm system, but it's always going to come down to pitching. They have Sonny Gray. Let's say Sonny Gray repeats. They don't have the depth in that starting rotation for me to feel confident in betting them, especially at such a short number. The Cubs, I feel like they're a piece or two away. They got my guy Cade Horton in the minors. I don't know if we're going to see him this year. Matt Shaw is another really good one out of Maryland playing shortstop for this team. Again, I'm not sure he's going to be up, but I got to go with the Cincinnati Reds, dude. If this team hits their ceiling, this is a team we're going to be talking about going to the World Series this year. I really believe that. They're littered with young prospects. They have a lot of guys in the farm system, and they got the number two pick in July. They're going to have almost the pick of the litter. There's a ton of options that I could see going to Cincinnati and possibly getting called up for a September run. I feel like the Reds, they showed it last year early, and then they kind of fell off. Injuries caught up to them a little bit. I feel like if they stay healthy, this is going to be a team that's going to be able to make a run this year. There's just too much talent. They have a lot of high-level pitching prospects and guys that have already been there for the last two or three years. So give me the Cincinnati Reds to take the division.
Yeah, I'm with you. Plus 350. That's my pick as well, is the Cincinnati Reds. Real quick, Johnny, about in 30 seconds or so, I think the NL MVP conversation, the favorites are certainly interesting. We have Ellie De La Cruz, O'Neill Cruz, both at 80-1 in the NL Central. Either of those guys interest you, or is there another player that you like for MVP?
I don't hate the sprinkle on Ellie De La Cruz. We saw the flashes of him last year. It's the strikeouts he's got to cut down on. That was always the big concern with him. So I don't hate him for a sprinkle. If Cincinnati's successful this year, he's going to have to be a big reason why. But the more realistic price for me this year is going to be Bryce Harper at 12-1. The top of the field's cluttered. You got three Dodgers that are probably going to take away votes from each other. Ronald Acuna, we know how hard it is to repeat. And plus, he's got Matt Olson, who's probably going to hit 40-plus home runs again. So for me, Bryce Harper is the sweet spot at 12-1. Don't hate Corbin Carroll also at 22-1 for the Arizona Diamondbacks, looking to make another good run after going to the World Series last year.
Love it. He is Johnny Venezia at @JohnnyVTV on X, host of the Breaking Bet podcast. Johnny, always good talking to you, pal. Catch up again next week.
You too, my man. Thank you so much.
Great stuff from Johnny. All right, keeping the baseball conversation going now as we go to Big League Peach, continue our preview of the teams throughout Major League Baseball. We're going to go over to the NL East. We're looking at the Miami Marlins today. Marlins are a really interesting team. Obviously, they made an acquisition a couple days ago, getting Tim Anderson, who is a free agent from the White Sox, in a one-year, $5 million prove-it deal. He's going to join former White Sox teammate Jake Berger on the left side of the infield. Anderson at short, Berger at third. They also got Josh Bell at first and Luis Arraez, maybe the best hitter in baseball, at second base. That Marlins infield's not so bad. If Anderson can get back to where he was as a player with the White Sox, he was terrible last year. The 4 years before that, he hit over 300. If the Marlins can get that kind of production, their infield's looking really, really good. Also got some young talent in the outfield. You got Jazz Chisholm Jr., Brian De La Cruz, and Jesus Sanchez as well, and some veterans at DH. Trey Mancini is now a Marlin to go along with Avisail Garcia. The Marlins are one of those teams, too, that have some really good young arms. Yuri Perez really broke onto the scene last year, goes along with Jesus Luzardo. They got a nice 1-2 punch. Bullpen will be a big question mark for the Marlins. They went and got David Robertson last year in the second half of the trade deadline. Didn't really work out for him. They're hoping that Tanner Scott can be their closer this year. I kind of like the Marlins, though. They made the playoffs last season. Now they bring over Tim Anderson. They get a full year of Jake Berger, who I think is going to be a really big surprise this year in the National League. If Josh Bell can turn into the hitter that he was a couple years ago, a lot of upside potential with some of these veterans that they're buying stock into. So I think the Marlins could be interesting. I wouldn't take them to win the NL East. I don't like any of those prices. I wouldn't take them to win the National League. However, I do think that maybe there's a chance that they could finish in second place potentially in the NL East. I don't think they can win it. I think the Braves are going to win it. Maybe the Phillies, though, a team that has made deep playoff runs the last couple of years, who has had some notorious slow starts in the regular season here. Maybe they just have a season like the Padres do. Maybe they have a season like the Mets do. There's always a surprise or two every single year in division races in baseball. I think maybe the Marlins could be an interesting play. The Braves, Marlins to finish 1-2 in that order is plus 650. Don't hate that sprinkle at all. Luis Arraez to lead Major League Baseball in hits at plus 750, I think, is also a good play as well. And then I am going over the regular season win total for the Marlins at 78.5. They won 84 games last year. Again, I think their lineup is going to be better. They still got two really good pitchers in that rotation. The pitching is really never the question with the Marlins. It seems like they always have good arms. It's can they score enough runs? And I think with the addition of Tim Anderson on a prove-it one-year deal to bounce back, Jake Berger, like I said, I think is going to have a really good year. So I'm going to go over 78.5 wins for the Marlins this season. All right, time to talk some college basketball as we look at the bubble teams, do a little glassitology here on Send It In. I'm going to start with the teams right now that are on the bubble. I'm going to talk about teams that are on the bubble that I like and teams that I don't like. We're going to start with New Mexico as a team that I like. Had a terrible loss on Saturday to Air Force over the weekend. Just, it's quite frankly inexcusable. You cannot lose that game. You're 18.5 point favorites. You're probably like a projected 9-10 seed before that game, and now you fall probably right into one of the last four teams in. So much talent on this team. They're top 40 in offensive and defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. Dent, Jamal Mashburn Jr., Nelly Jr. Joseph, House as well, Daniel House. They got so much talent on this team, but they got to be able to win some of these Mountain West games on the road, and they can't afford losses like they had on Saturday to Air Force. So it's going to be a sweaty next couple weeks for New Mexico. They got to finish the regular season strong. They probably have to make it to at least the semifinals of the Mountain West, depending on who they beat in the corners. Might have to make it all the way to the final, get another nice win in the quad one on a neutral floor to feel comfortable about their position. That's a team that certainly has the talent to make a maybe Cinderella Final Four run, but losses like Saturday against Air Force, that's a killer. Wake Forest is another team that I really like. I think they are in the NCAA tournament after their win against Duke on Saturday. Another team that KenPom loves. They're 19th overall, 22nd in offense, 34th on defense, and they have the best player in college basketball that nobody knows about. Hunter Salas is really good. This was a former five-star recruit, went to Gonzaga, didn't work out with Mark Few. Then he goes to Winston-Salem with Steve Forbes, and he was an absolute stud on Saturday, 11 for 13 from the field. Wake can play. Duke is playing really good basketball. They're a team under John Shire the last couple of years that have really gotten hot at the end of February. Heading into March, they were playing good basketball. Duke played a great game on Saturday. Wake was just that much better. Hunter Salas is a big-time player, can carry a team to a couple wins in the NCAA tournament. I like Wake Forest. That's a team that I would not want to see in my region. Gonzaga is also another bubble team that certainly isn't good as they have been in years past, but they could be dangerous in the tournament. Teams like Gonzaga that were so used to being one or two seeds in the tournament, when they kind of are in that underdog role, when they have the chip on their shoulder, that's when they could be a little dangerous and maybe make a Sweet 16 Elite Eight run when we're not expecting. We've seen Mark Few teams in the past be in that like 10 seed, 11 seed range, and they've actually fared pretty well. They've only beaten one team though currently that's in the NCAA tournament. That was Kentucky a couple weeks ago. So again, this team is nowhere near as talented as some of the teams they've had in years past. They're not as good, but teams might be overlooking Gonzaga because they think it's a down year for them, and they might be able to make a run into the second weekend of the tournament. That is a team that I would keep an eye on. I also like Villanova because they have such a good non-conference record this season. They beat North Carolina. They beat Texas Tech. They beat Memphis. They lost at Kansas State by one in overtime. They also beat Maryland. Non-conference resume is really impressive for Villanova. It's just in the Big East, they have really struggled. They have a nice win against Creighton. They've lost to Marquette twice. They lost to UConn. Got some big bubble games coming up, including one against Providence here in a bit, and then against Creighton in a couple weeks to end the season. Some opportunities for Villanova down the stretch. A team with a lot of veterans, a lot of seniors, and their non-conference schedule, once if they're able to get into the NCAA tournament because how good they've been outside of the Big East, I think that could be a team to watch. And then finally, a mid-major that I really like is the Drake Bulldogs. Maybe the best mid-major player in college basketball, and Tucker DeVries, elite scorer. Drake averages 80 points per game. They're really good, and I'm hoping that their conference Arch Madness gets in to the NCAA tournament with Indiana State, a couple of teams out of that league, because both of them can really score. Both of them are really good. They're 23-6 on the season. Really didn't challenge themselves too much in the non-conference. They beat Nevada by 20, but two really good teams out of the Missouri Valley with Drake and Indiana State. I'm hoping to both make the tournament. And then teams that I don't like, you have Nebraska. They can't win away from home. Virginia, they can't score a lick. Providence has had some nice wins, and they're playing better here as of late, but their best player is out for the year, Bryce Hopkins, so I don't like them. Texas A&M was my preseason pick to win the SEC. I'm totally out on them. Can't really beat any good teams. Not consistent enough on the offensive end of the floor. And then Ole Miss hasn't beaten a ranked team this season in SEC play. They've had a number of opportunities, can't get it done. They have one of the worst non-conference schedules I've ever seen. The fact that this team is still even in consideration, I think, is a joke. Hopefully Ole Miss does not make it into the tournament. All right, let's keep it going. Do our top 10 college basketball teams here on a Monday. We're going to start with the number one team in the land. It's been this way for the last month, and it's going to stay that way. The Connecticut Huskies are the number one team in the country. They bounced back nicely off of that loss to Creighton. That loss, by the way, was more about Creighton than it was about UConn. Creighton just couldn't miss. They were unconscious from three. That's what happens, and they were getting UConn off an all-time great spot, a 30-point win against the number four team in the country. Creighton upset them, but then UConn responded nicely with a dominant win against Villanova. They are the number one team in the land. Number two, we had a little movement. I put Houston at number two over Purdue. What this came down to me was UConn's the team I trust the most. UConn's the favorite to win the national championship, and deservedly so. However, I think the second team for me would be Houston. I think Houston's the same exact team that they are every single year, but you got to trust somebody outside of UConn. And if I had to make a pick, it would be Houston, because there are stretches, and you saw it in the game against Baylor, where they are just so dominant on the defensive end of the floor. They're up 17 points in that game at halftime. The problem is you also get the other side with Houston, where they give up a 17-point lead in the second half because they go on droughts offensively. Feels like it's the same team. You look at them on a piece of paper, all the advanced metrics love them. They're the team I trust the most after UConn, though, so they are my number two team. Then we're going to put Purdue at number three. So good offensively. They're going to have the back-to-back National Player of the Year in Zach Edey. First time that's going to happen since Ralph Sampson at Virginia. Their offense is potent. We know what it comes down to with Purdue, though. Can they win in March? I'm not going to wager a single dollar on Purdue. They got to show me that they can win in March before I believe in them, but they are the number three team in the country. Their non-conference resume is as good as it gets. Having a nice year in the Big Ten, they're going to win the Big Ten regular season. Purdue, my number three team. Then I'm going to put Tennessee at number four. Number two defense in college basketball. The difference with Tennessee, though, this year, which makes them feel different in my eyes, is that they can score. They have a lottery picking Dalton Connect, who can go and get in his own buckets, and the other guys have been consistent enough offensively for me to start to be a believer in Tennessee. They can win games in the 50s and 60s. They can also win games in the 90s, and I think that is what is different about this year's Tennessee team. The toughest thing about trusting Tennessee is that you got to trust Rick Barnes. I understand that, but to me, they are my number four team. I'll put North Carolina at number five. They did beat Tennessee in Chapel Hill earlier in the year, back when their defense was playing really, really well. Their offense was also playing well. Had a nice win against Virginia. Carolina's had a couple stumbles here the last couple weeks in some midweek games. We'll see how they fare against Miami tonight. They're going to have the ACC Player of the Year most likely in RJ Davis, Armando Bacot. They got a lot of veterans that are meshing well. As I mentioned, a really good defensive team. Offense is starting to slide a little bit, but they can still shoot and they can still score with the best of them. Carolina, my number five team. I'll put Arizona at number six. Arizona is another team. You look at them on KenPom, you look at them on a sheet of paper, you look at the metrics, everything checks the boxes with Arizona. But is that a team that we can really trust in the NCAA tournament? They've had a nice non-conference resume. They played a really tough schedule, had some nice wins, suffered some tough losses. They have a great backcourt in Caleb Love and Kylan Boswell that you want to trust in the tournament. Great big man in Omar Ballo, but they suffered a tough loss against Washington State on Thursday. So can't trust Arizona. Can't put them any higher than six. Kentucky, I'll put at number seven. I think Kentucky's A game might be as good as anybody. When they're clicking offensively, they're a fun watch. They dropped 117 points against Bama over the weekend on Saturday. They got nothing but shooters all over the floor. If their defense can pick it up here over the next 3 weeks heading into the tournament, Kentucky will move up my list. Number eight is Auburn. Kentucky beat Auburn last week, so they get the nod over the Tigers. Auburn's one of the best defensive teams. They can really guard, but offensively, they go through patches much like Houston, where they can struggle to score at times, so I'll put them at eight. Iowa State is number nine, another elite defensive team. Number three in the country, really good guard and Taman Lindsey. TJ Olsenberger has done an excellent job. They're number two right now in the Big 12, which is the best conference in college basketball. Iowa State, my number nine. And I'll still put Marquette at number 10. You throw away the UConn loss, everything else they've done over the last 10 games has been really impressive. Tyler Kolek's playing awesome ball. They got a really good offensive team. Defensively, they're good at times as well. We'll see if we can trust Marquette come the tournament as well. Shaka Smart, ever since that run with VCU, has not been great. So my top 10, UConn 1, Houston 2, Purdue 3, Tennessee 4, North Carolina 5, Arizona 6, Kentucky 7, Auburn 8, Iowa State 9, and Marquette 10. Let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Lucy Burge, who is standing by here on Send It In. Lucy, always great to see you. What are the five-star plays BetQL has for us today?
Always great to see you, PJ. Five-star play for today is in college basketball. It is Baylor money line against TCU, plus 120. So a little bit of plus money here. Baylor has won 5 of their last 8 games, 2 of their last 4 on the road, so not too bad. And there's a BetQL trend in favor of Baylor. Scott Drew is 8-0 straight up after allowing 40 points or more in the first half in 2 straight games while coaching Baylor. Just a phenomenal BetQL trend right there. So the BetQL model loves Baylor on the money line here as a 5-star play for tonight.
I mean, I don't know how they keep track of this stuff, Lucy, right? But that is a good nugget right there. If you want to back Baylor, what are your favorite bets for today? What do you like?
Yes, well, I am going to hockey for my first one. The Senators to win by 2 over the Capitals. This is my long shot bet for today in our BetQL.com long shots article. Plus 750 at BetMGM. You can get this one at. The Senators have won 3 of their last 4 games, and one of those wins came by 2 goals. They scored 4 goals in all 3 of those wins, while the Capitals are coming off of a loss, which they scored 2 goals in that loss. So 4-2 exact score you could also look at here by 2 goals. On the road, the Senators have won 4 of their last 6, and 2 of those wins were by 2 goals. And the Capitals have lost 3 of their last 4 at home, so I like the Senators to win tonight and do it by a margin of 2 goals, plus 750 at BetMGM. Then going back to college basketball, I am going with the hot sun of Miami, plus 13.5 against UNC. Miami has failed to cover their last 4 spreads, but the last time they covered was against UNC when they lost 75-72, but they very easily covered a 13.5 point spread in that. If that was not the spread, but if this score is similar, they will easily cover 13.5. I think they can do that again here. UNC has failed to cover in 3 of their last 5, and they are averaging only a few points fewer per game than Miami at 81 to Miami 77. So I see Miami keeping pace in this one, close enough to cover the spread, 13.5.
I like it, Lucy. I'm going to be on that play with you coming up in a little bit. Before I let you go, I got to ask you a baseball question, though. Your guy, Shohei Ohtani, supposed to make his spring training debut tomorrow with the Dodgers. I know a lot of people are excited. What kind of season do you expect from Shohei, Lucy? Because his entire life, the guy's had to pitch and he's had to hit. He's had to focus on both. Now he heads into a season and he's only focused on hitting. What kind of season do you expect from Ohtani?
Yeah, this could be like a part-time job for him. He's going to make it look easy. I'm not taking the Dodgers to win the World Series, but I think Ohtani himself is going to have a huge season. I've seen some people predict 50 or more home runs for Shohei Ohtani. I am here to take that one step further. He will hit over 55 home runs this season is what I am going to predict. He's going to have a massive season at the plate because when he was pitching, when he was doing 2 things, he was still had 44 home runs last season. So I think without the pitching, he can focus completely at his performance at the plate and he can hit over 55 home runs this year.
I don't think the Dodgers have had anybody in their history who's hit 50 or more home runs. So wouldn't it be fitting?
Who better? Who better?
If Shohei, right? Who better than the $700 million man that they paid to get it done? She is Lucy Burge joining me here on Send It In. Lucy, great stuff as always. We'll talk again later in the week.
I'll talk to you later in the week, PJ. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. And a reminder that new BetMGM customers, the King of Sportsbooks, is giving you $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. How does it work? You place a bet of $5 or more as your first wager with BetMGM. You receive $150 in bonus bets regardless of your wager's outcome, and you use your bonus bet on any sport. Wrapping up the show now, PJ's plays here on Send It In. Really like my prop lock today, you guys. We've been killing it with this these last couple days in the NBA. We're going to stay there. Pascal Siakam is going against his former team tonight, and I think he's going to have a big game offensively. I'm taking Siakam over 22.5 points against his former team. Siakam's actually gone under this number 5 of his last 6 games. Do you know the only game where he went over? It was against the Raptors on Valentine's Day. Now he gets to face his former team again. Moist Cupcakes, I see you're asking, can the Pacers cover the points against Toronto tonight? I'm staying off the spread, but I do like that Siakam over points. points. My stay away game is going to be the Nets and the Grizzlies. It's just a gross basketball game. Both teams are playing terrible. Grizzlies' year is over without Ja. The Nets fired their coach. No motivation for either team. I'm staying away. I'm with Lucy. I'm going to take Miami as my dog of the day, plus 13.5. North Carolina has lost their last three midweek games in ACC play. Short turnaround off of a big road win at Virginia. Now you have to play a Miami team that's lost six in a row. Worry about a little bit of a letdown for the Tar Heels. I'll take the Canes plus the points. And then my best bet, I'm going against the BetQL model. I'm going to take TCU on the money line tonight against Baylor. We have seen the last two Mondays in college basketball, we have gotten ranked teams on the road playing against unranked favorites. We had Virginia last week at Virginia Tech. We had Kansas the week before at Texas Tech. Both of those ranked teams got absolutely shelled. I don't know if TCU shells Baylor tonight, but I do like them to win the game. I'll take TCU money line against Baylor. To recap our best bets for the day, there they are. Pascal Siakam, over 22.5 points. Nets Grizzlies, my stay away. Miami, my dog of the day. And TCU on the money line, my best bet against Baylor.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.